Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. It says, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He didn't whisper it. He didn't keep it to himself. It says, in a loud voice, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? As no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner, then he said to him, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." Out of 10, one came back to thank God. It says, not only did he threw himself at Jesus' feet to thank God. I mean, how many of us will actually do that? We have the ability to do it. All right? We get down on our knees and thank God for what we have. You know, I mean, like I said, look at all the devastations in all those places. They lost everything, have absolutely nothing to go back to. In California, homes burned down to ashes. And there's nothing around. There's no trees. Some of these places, Puerto Rico, as bad as they are, they don't have it as bad as they do in California, because at least they have, some of the places have structure. In California, everything is burnt down to the ground. For those of you that like drinking wine, the price is going to go up because it was in Wine Valley. Okay? So well, the wine drinkers just know that the price is going to go up on wine. So we're going to go to juice. Says, how soon we forget what he has done for us, especially when everything is going good. Isn't that the truth? When everything is going fine, how many of us really think about Jesus? Everything is going good.
Let me tell you how easy that is. My wife loves big refrigerators. We've always had big refrigerators, like the one in the kitchen there, refrigerator only. And every time I'm opening the door, I know I'm clumsy, but stuff is falling out. I'm complaining that there's too much stuff in the refrigerator. And God just kind of tapped me on the shoulder one day and said, "What'd you just say? Half of the world is starving, and I'm complaining that I got so much in my refrigerator, things are falling out." I said, "Oh, man, I'm sorry, you know." But it's so easy to get into that.
Yes, it is. Granted. Yeah, we do. I mean, we're so blessed, you know what? And like I said, we look at everything that's going on, and we're okay. You know, we can turn on the AC right now if it gets too hot. Not in the next couple of days. It's going to get cold. So turn on the heat, okay? But we have that ability, that opportunity to do that. We can pick and choose right now where we want to go eat. Steak, chicken, pretty much. But like Bob said, how many of us, when things are going so good, take the time and stop to say, you know what? Thank you, Jesus, for what I have. Thank you, Jesus, for what I have. And it's not just the material things. Our health. Okay? So that we can go work. For those that are retired, you have been super blessed. Okay? Because you don't have to get up that early in the morning to do it. But that's a blessing. That's a blessing. It says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 through 20, it says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord always. I'm going to say to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything. So not just some of the things, just it's everything, because everything comes from him. A lot of times the world don't think that way. Well, no, I got it because I work for it. That's their mentality. We know better. We know that everything comes from our Father. And if he's not going to give it to you, nobody really is. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18, it says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. So you go from everything to all circumstances. So you got to give him thanks for everything that you have and then everything you're going through. That's the hard part also. Okay? Because when we're struggling and we're going through something, isn't it hard to stop and say, thank you, Jesus, for having me go through this? That's when we need to do it. Perseverance. That says Colossians 4:2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful.
I'll go back to that one.
Sorry about that.
I wanted to talk about this here where it says everything, all circumstances, give thanks. We came here in 2009, and at that time, that exact same year, is when my father, who was suffering from dementia, took a dive into the next phase of it. So as Bob always says, there are no coincidences. There's a reason we were here, 2009. during the first couple of years when we were told he was diagnosed with that, my brothers and I and my mom, we had to adjust to the fact that now we were going to see my father go through something we've seen several uncles go through. And changed a little bit for me because my dad and I were the closest. So I knew what was coming, and I knew I had to prepare for it, but we were living in the world. None of us were going to church. None of us were following anything. And so it was hard. It was difficult because there was nothing I could turn to, and I wasn't thinking about, you know, give thanks in all circumstances. I was angry. I wasn't thinking about, you know, giving thanks to God the Father for everything. It was more of a, okay, why questioning. It was more of an anger questioning. As, you know, I knew, like I said, I knew what was coming. So 2009, we come here, and no coincidence. we came early in the year, and Ray and I went ahead, and of course we had to buy Bibles because we didn't have one in the house. And if I did have one, it's somewhere buried. And we started going to the home group. And during that time, I had some help with Donna. Donna was very, very helpful in questions I had in regarding to what was going on in our lives with my mom and my brothers. And because instead of us uniting, because this was our father, everyone kind of hit a separate direction. And it got pretty ugly really fast. But God showed me something. The first thing he showed me was that I had a husband who was supportive and loving in this. And like I said, it was really hard because I expected my family to unite. There were several times where they united, but they didn't want me in those wonderful little meetings because my take on it was several things were going to happen and we had to be prepared for those several things happening. And their take on it was, let's see if we could ship off my dad to Chicago because my aunt, his sister, wanted to take care of him, or Puerto Rico because there was a place over there. I don't know. That conversation stopped for me there. But so they were willing to set him aside. I was not. And Ray can tell you stories of me getting home after several times of talking to my family. It was not good. But being here, I was learning about God. I was learning about his peace. I was learning about giving thanks. I was learning so much. And I'm extremely thankful to that time because that was so hard. My dad, when he ended up in hospital, I already knew he wasn't coming back out. So those 4 years were hard. I would go visit him at the Regency, which I hated that place. But being thankful in all circumstances, being joyful, as it says there too, be joyful always. I took so many pictures of my father. I walked with him through the hallways. I talked to him anytime I wanted to. You know, it was just me and him. There was so much me and him time in 4 years. It made up for a lot of other times that we were not together. And at the end of it, we were actually here. It was May 19th. And walking into the church, I just had this feeling that something was coming for today. That was my thing. As I was walking to the door, something's coming for today. And when I got to the pew, I just heard this word, death. And end. Of course, I wasn't thinking of anything. The praise and worship song was on, and I was going with that, and then all of a sudden my phone rang. Now, one of the things I do is I put my phone in my purse, and it's off. I don't look at it. I don't have time for it. I'm in church. That's my attitude. but on that day, I put it on the pew because, like I said, I had that feeling something was coming. So I got a tap on my shoulder, and it was loose, and she told me, your phone, you know. I said, okay. So I turned, I saw what it said on there. It said Regency. Well, one of the things with Regency was my mother was in charge of my father's care. So she made sure that my name and number were not the first to be called for anything. It was her and my brother. So when I saw Regency, well, I was standing in the church. Here I am. That was God. I went outside, took the call. They told me that he was sent to the hospital. He couldn't breathe. I called the hospital. They told me he was on a ventilator. And like I said, I already knew. So I was okay. So I called the family, and none of them had received any phone calls. Not my mother, not my brothers, no one. So I let them know. He's at the hospital. This and this and this and that. Okay. Once Ray was down from praise and worship, he came down and I told him about the phone call and everything. He says, hey, do you want to hurry up and go to the hospital? I'm like, no, I'm okay. He's like, okay. And I remember his look because he knew how I was with my dad. I would go anywhere he was going to be. So afterwards, he says, well, I came upstairs. I said, no, I'm going to have a cup of coffee and then we'll go. He's like, you're sure? And I'm like, well, yeah, I'm okay. That's that peace that you get with the Lord. He gave me so much. I there's words I can't even express how I felt. Well, it was around 1:30, finally, when I got to the hospital. And, I told Ray and Sebastian it was Sammy's wedding day. So I was like, why don't you guys just go? This is going to be a process, and I needed to be there by myself anyways. Well, when I got there, who did I call early in the morning? My mom and my brothers. Nobody was there. So I got there, and the emergency doctor, the one in charge, is the one I ended up speaking with. We talked for a little bit, and she told me that most likely taking him off the ventilator, he would only survive several hours. I said, okay, sure. So I let her know we had to wait anyways because I have a brother in Lansing. That's an hour and a half drive. 2 hours at the most to get to the hospital. Well, 4 or 5 hours later is when everyone started showing up. By that time, I had already made every single decision, and they wrote it all down. He's a DNR, so once he was going to be taken off the ventilator, we already knew what was going to happen next. Well, according to the doctors, once that was done, because all the family arrived, they said, just kind of brace yourselves, be ready. You know how they give you the speech. I was just, okay. I wasn't worried about that. I was calm. I had that peace. Lord gave me this peace that, like I said, there's no expression for. And they took him off the ventilator. And it was like this waiting game because they said within hours. Well, one day passed. Well, I stayed there overnight with him. I actually went home, and my brothers had called me and said that he's breathing funny. Well, he had been breathing funny for a while, but anyways. I was home, and Ray had gotten the call, and I said, okay. I got dressed again, and I went back to the house. So I stayed there that night with him, and one night turned into several more nights. 10 days of watching my father, yes, 10 days of watching my father go slowly was not easy. But in all of that, I am still thankful to the Lord because there was joy in some of that. We sat there, and some of us reminisced about certain things, and you know, about my dad, and I had several cousins come and visit as well. And it was just a time of peace and you know, going over some of those fun times we had. You know, my dad played the guitar, the fact that he was part of the group in the, it's called Barrandas for us in Spanish. It's a Christmas caroling. And so we went over some songs. There we are in the middle of summer. you know, about some of the songs that he used to play and some of the things he used to do. And, you know, my dad was not a saint by any means early in my life anyways. But I got the time to talk to him. And I know he could hear me because he would kind of move a little bit every time I would say something to him. And I even got time to read the word to him. And at one point, going back when we were at Regency, I started reading Psalms 100 to him. And he would smile. He always had this big cheese smile. And he would smile, and I asked him, you know, in Spanish, I asked him, do you understand what I'm saying? And he'd nod and say yes. And I said, okay, do you want me to keep reading? He'd nod and say yes. This is a man who would not go to church because he said there's a bunch of hypocrites. But anyway. We were going to Catholic church at that time. But so I got to, you know, take so many pictures of him. I got time to spend with him. I got time to ask him for forgiveness for certain things that went on in our lives. And I told him I forgave him for so many things that, like I said, he wasn't always sober. He wasn't always there. But I had that chance to say, I forgive you. And I had asked him for forgiveness. And I even asked him if he was ready. And he just kind of, you know, nodded and smiled. That was okay for me. But, you know, giving thanks for everything in all circumstances. You know, be joyful always. Pray continually. I prayed. That was a long, long process of praying in regards to my family and how we weren't getting along in regards to every step and every change with that dementia process. I prayed, but I also got that peace that, I, like I said, I have no words to express because that was something. So at the end of everything, again, I was blessed. It was 8:25 when my dad passed away, and one of the things I had prayed for was that I would be there. I didn't want him to be alone because for me, him with my brothers and my mother, that was being alone because they wanted to send him off. So I didn't want him to be there just with them. So I was there. It was one of the days that normally I would have gone early to spend the day with them, and instead I went in the evening, and that was another thing that Ray had pointed out to me. He was like, you know, are you ready to go? Are you, you know, and I was like, no. Now, right now, later. And Ray even asked me, he's like, are you sure? Because you always go early. I was like, no. Later. That was the evening that my dad had passed away. So in so many times and so many things, God had answered my promise. You know, he answered my prayers. And it was just one thing after the next, how blessed I felt, because coming here, like I said, we were living in the world. And it's like you learn so much and you hear, oh, you know, God's always there with you. God's, and, you know, it takes time, you know. And it was like every single prayer I asked for was answered. And at the very end, when I called and I let Donna know that he had passed, again, I was blessed. Pastor Don had came. Pastor John had came. Carol came. Donna came. And that to me was just, well, no words again. Because they were family members that didn't even show up. So I want to say thank you to Pastor Don, Donna, Carol and Pastor John, because what that does to someone, how that changes someone to see the support. Again, no words, but for me, that meant everything. So I thank you.
So as we sometimes put our focus on what we don't have and not give thanks for what we do have. A lot of times we do that. We complain. You know, it's like, I don't have this, I don't have that. And like Bob mentioned earlier, you know, he opens up his refrigerator and he's complaining that he has just too much food in the refrigerator. You know, that's human nature. I mean, that's what we do sometimes. You know, but as Christians, we should thank God for everything that we have in all circumstances and not focus so much on what we don't have when we constantly do that. Well, I don't have this, and I don't have that, and I don't have this, and I don't have that, and woe me, woe me. Instead of stopping and looking around you and saying, look what I do have. We're blessed. I have a home to go to. You know, I have a wife or a husband. I have my kids. Okay? I have a car. In some cases, 2 or 3 cars. You know, when we come back from Mexico, I got home and I'm like, I'm super blessed. There's people out there that have to walk miles to get to where they got to go to. I had the option of choosing which car I want to go to if I want to take my motorcycle. 2 cars and a motorcycle. I'm a billionaire compared to some of those people. And sometimes we still complain because I don't have that car or that other car, you know, or the SUV with all the, you know, bells and whistles, and I don't have this and I don't have that. Remember back in the days? Well, for some of us back in the days, where you had to do this to open the window? Some of us remember that. Come on. Some of us remember that. Where you had to do that? Yeah. And like Sandy says, what about where you have to open the other side? You have to pull over to reach over there and do that. You can't do it while you're driving. So you have to pull over, roll that window down.
That was also your air conditioner.
Exactly. Air conditioner, roll all the 4 windows down. That was your AC system. And nowadays, we have these cars that have everything, and we still complain. Some of us still complain. It says, giving thanks is an attitude that shows maturity in our walk with the Lord. The psalmist wrote, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. That's in Psalms 9:1. It says, we can choose to grumble or we can choose to give thanks for what we have, be it a little or a lot. As Paul said, I have learned in whatever situation I am in, to be content. That's in Philippians 4:11. It says, when we're not thankful, we always want more and more and more and more. Why? Because we're not thankful to the Lord. We always want more. We keep complaining. We want more. We're not thankful. We're not satisfied. It says here, and I found this. It says, Sean Quinn. In 2008, Sean Quinn was known as the richest person in Ireland, with an estimated net worth of $6 billion. However, in 2011, Sean Quinn filed for bankruptcy. From $6 billion to bankruptcy. Alma said, how long? In 3 years, he blew $6 billion. So for those of you that think money is the answer to everything, from riches to rags in less than 3 years. So Sean was a proud owner of the Quinn Group, a company that was estimated to be worth between $6 billion to $5 billion in November 2005. In 2008, Quinn's family net worth took a major hit, and Sean Quinn was replaced by this other gentleman. So he went from having $6 billion to having no money to losing everything, his job. They replaced him quick. I would have replaced him after he lost a couple hundred thousand. Yeah. The company you work for, after a couple hundred thousand, you're gone. Right, Ed? You start losing money to the company like that, I'm not going to wait till it gets to, you know, to the billions.
Hey, right?
Yes.
You work for the government.
This is another guy. Eric Batista made his fortune as a Brazilian business magnate in mining, oil and gas exploration. He is presently the chairman of Brazilian conglomerate EPX Group, but that doesn't mean that his financial situation is back on track. In 2012, Batista was worth an estimated $30 billion. These are billionaires. He was estimated $30 billion, making him the seventh richest person in the world and the wealthiest person in Brazil. Just 1 year later, Batista's net worth had dropped dramatically to $200 million. From $30 million to $200 million. I'm sorry, from $30 billion to $200 million. And falling. In January 2014, it was reported that Batista had negative net worth. From $30 billion to negative. Those that crunch numbers, that's a lot. And all those billions, do you think either one of them ever took the time to thank God? More than likely not. You think how many of them said, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and bless the church down the street from me. They need new pews and new sound system. Think they ever did that? I doubt it. Doesn't say, but when you go from this to this, something ain't right. Why be thankful? We get caught up in so many things in our lives that we just forget to thank the one who gave his life so that we can have one. Amen. Jesus died on the cross. He died so that we can have a life. And again, are we thankful for that? Do we thank the Lord every single day? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, that's the first thing out of my mouth when I get up in the morning. I just thank him. First thing, just thank you. Open my eye like I'm good. Thank you, Jesus. You know? Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. So we have so many things to be thankful for. Our salvation, his love for us, his mercy and compassion, his faithfulness to us even when we're not. The price his son paid on the cross for us, even when we didn't deserve it. You know, somebody does a favor for you, does something. I've always believed this. When somebody asks you, do you need help with that? I don't know, I'm carrying a refrigerator by myself. Do you think I need help? When somebody asks, it's because they really don't want to do it. That's just the way I look at it. Okay, because somebody that truly wants to help you, they'll just jump in and start helping. I don't need to ask somebody that's trying to carry a refrigerator, do you need help? Right? Some old lady's, you know, trying to fix a tire that's flat and a car, it's late in the evening. Do you need help? What do you think? Seriously. It says in Matthew 6:33, but first seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I thought about that. What things? We read that scripture, and automatically we start thinking of what? All the good stuff. The new house, the new car. You know, I've been thinking of a boat. You know, new motorcycle from a 600 to maybe a 1,000. You know, I don't know. Jesus, what do you think? Yeah, you start, you know, trying to negotiate with God. What do you think, Jesus? You know? And then you're trying to justify it. Instead of thanking him for what you do have, now you want to start upgrading a whole lot more. Okay? And you want to start, you know, talking to God about it. God, I need to talk to you for a second. You know? I really want to improve this. I want to thought 1,000. You know? A boat. Hey, I can take the brothers for a ride. You know? Really, you start thinking of all the good things you can do, knowing well that you're not going to do any of that. You just want a boat, okay? You're trying to justify it to God to say, well, you know what, I can just, that's a ministry. I can use it as a ministry, Jesus. I can grab some brothers and sisters and take them on a boat, and we can have a good time in fellowship. And everybody goes, has anybody seen Ray in that new boat? I ain't seen him in about 6 months. It says, chapter 6, verse 25 to 30 tells us what they are. So if you want to look that up, it can tell you why. What are those things? It says, just briefly, it says, don't worry, that's the title head for it. I will take care of everything. I take care of the birds. I give water to the flowers. And it goes on. So if you want to know what those things are that he mentions about seek first his kingdom, and all these things will be given to you. Amen. It doesn't mean that God won't bless you on other things, but you first have to seek him and his righteousness. It says, our God always keeps his promise. Thankfulness with obedience brings blessings. Ungratefulness with disobedience will bring curses. It says, Bob spoke a few weeks ago. No, that's not you, Bob. No. Says, Bob spoke a few weeks ago that there are blessings and also curses. If we are obedient to him, then we get the blessings. But if we are not obedient, well, you get the picture. And Bob spoke about that. There's blessings and there's curses. Right? You start thanking God for all the blessings and everything that he gives you, and sometimes the things that he doesn't give you, because he knows if you really need it. That's when we start wanting to kind of argue with him a little bit. You know, I wanted this. Why didn't you give it to me? Or the other one, I deserve it. I really do. I really deserve this. I worked hard for it, Jesus. I need this. You know why? Like, he doesn't know what you do need or don't need. So I thought I'd add another one. You know, he's got curses. I'm not getting everything I want. You start doing this. We start doing this thing right here. Yeah, right? It doesn't start going our way, and this is what we start looking like. Instead of being thankful for the things that we do have, for the blessings that God gave in us, we're ungrateful. And when it doesn't start going the way we want it to go, we look like him. We all look like him at one point or another. Some of us probably worse than that than others, but we should always thank him and be faithful even when he is not going, even when it's not going so good. Sometimes he just wants to see what we're going to do. You know, sometimes it's like, okay, what are you going to do? Let me see what he's going to do or she's going to do. Is he or she going to be thankful for the things that I did give him already? For the blessings that I've given him already? What is he or she going to do? Or are we going to start looking at it like that other guy? Whining and crying of the things we don't have. Instead of thanking Jesus, thank you. I can eat. You know, I can walk. I can do this. I can do that. Believe me, when you think you got it bad, there's other people out there that have a whole lot worse than you do. Believe me, they do. I learned that when I went to Mexico. And I didn't grow up rich at all, by no means. I grew up in a very poor neighborhood. There were six of us. I know what it is to eat rice and a fried egg for about 4 days straight. I know what that is. So by no means was I ever rich. What got me was I stopped being thankful for what I did have. That's what got me. Instead of being thankful, I got a little, you know, carried away. Like, yeah, I got this and I got that. You know, I'm no longer have to suffer. You know, one of the things that I said when I was growing up is my mom couldn't buy us a banana split. Remember when I was actually the big boat? Remember those days? The big banana split? And I wanted one of those. We were in New York and I was a kid. My mom says, you can't get one. And I said, I can't wait till I start working. And I was like, I can't wait till I retire. So that's the first thing I said. I can't wait till I start working. I'm going to buy my very own banana split. And I did. I did. Since first paycheck I got when I was in high school, I went and bought me a big old banana split. Oh, it was delicious. It was a big boat. I know, right? So it's Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper. See, God knows what he wants to do with you. He has a plan. He says it. For I know the plans I have for you. He's telling you, I have a plan for you. It's not just, well, I'm going to figure it out. He has a plan for every single one of us. It says, declares the Lord. Not declares anybody else, declares the Lord. And he tells you, I'm going to prosper you. But don't forget that other verse from way back. It's what? If you seek him and his righteousness first. These are one of the criteria. He wants to prosper you, but you have to seek him first and be obedient. Since to bless you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's his. Those are his plans. Not that he wants to harm you and punish you and kick you. No. But when somebody does that, don't you want to be thankful? It says we thank him. I'll finish up with this right here. It says, would you thank someone if they gave you $10,000? Who here would thank somebody? Somebody said, you know, here's $10,000. Would you say thank you? Yeah. I know I would. Thank you. How about if they gave you a new home mortgage free? That's a big thank you. Somebody says, you know what? I'm going to bless you with this house. You don't have to worry about one single payment. It's paid for. Here. So you got 4 rooms, 3 bathrooms, huge finished basement, huge yard with a jacuzzi in the corner and a gazebo. Right? Sounds good, don't it? This is a nice house, and I'm going to give it to you.
Taxes included?
Give it to Roger. Give it to Roger. Can't be thankful. This is an example, all right, of not being thankful. See? Thankfulness, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the person that did it. And are the taxes included? This is an example. We planned this. Would you thank someone if they gave you a place with no pain, with no suffering, a place of pure peace and beauty? Most importantly, eternal life. And I got on there, thank you, Jesus. I mean, if you can thank someone for giving you $10,000 or for giving you a house, how about all these other things down here? Aren't they important? You know, yes. Think about it. You live in a $1 million home, and envy and jealousy gets a hold of you, and now you want more. And that's what it boils down to, envy and jealousy. You let those fester in. And believe me, you stop thinking about being thankful to God for the things that you do have. That's when prayer kicks in. That's why getting into his word is something that we need to do every single day. We need to start remembering of all the things. You need to look around. We all need to look around and see what we do have and not worry so much about what we don't have. It's about being thankful to God for what we do. Amen. You know, God says to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope in the future. That's what he wants for us. But in return, a simple thank you. 10 of them got healed. 1 came back. 1 came back to say thank you. I tell you what, I want to be one of the ones that come back. John has something.
No, a lot of times we don't think about being thankful for not getting what we want.
Yes.
Because in many cases, God knows our heart.
Yes.
And he knows that if we received the blessing that we wanted, what we would do with it would take us away from our eternal life, take us away from our salvation. And so, you know, we want to curse everybody around us for not giving us what we think we want. But God knows that, hey, if we don't get it, maybe our heart would change. He knows our heart will change potentially. And if we give that heart to him, then we gain something greater than the things that we think we need.
Amen. Do you think that those billionaires, when they first started out, you know, maybe at one point they thought about, you know, I want to be a billionaire. You think in that thought process, they thought, after that, I want to be broke? I can guarantee you neither one of them did. Neither one of them thought about that. They're thinking about it now. And I guarantee you now, they're probably thinking, maybe if I would have just done things a little bit different. Maybe if I would have been more grateful for what I did have and share it and help other people and be a blessing to others. You know, share the what God has given you. As Christians, God given us his word. You know, thankful for that. And then do what with it? Share it. That's what he wants us to do. Share that wealth, that wealth of his word. All right? So that people can know who he is and understand that he has a plan for them too. This plan is for those who want to accept him and love him and be obedient to him and thank him for all the things that he's done in your life. Amen?